Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed. What a song to open up the message for today. I know that used to be one of Dad's favorite songs, Open the Eyes of My Heart, because a lot of us, you know, our eyes and our heart have been closed. And so I said last week that we should make our life a temple, right? Because we are a temple. And so we want to make sure that when we sing, we don't sing to people. We don't sing for people. We sing to God. You know, our worship is not to people. Our worship is to God. And when we worship, what happens when we worship, we start to look more like God. And so our prayer is that God will open up the eyes of your heart so that you can see Him, so that you can be committed to Him, so that your life can be changed, because that's what it's about at the end of the day. Your life is about change in your life, you know. So happy Sunday again. Welcome to Fifth Sunday. And I know this is Fifth Sunday, so we usually do things a little bit different. And so we are in a series this month called The Functions of a Healthy Church. The Functions of a Healthy Church. And how many of you all have really learned from this series? We talked about connection and commitment and community and clarity. And this week we're going to talk about something that I believe is very, very important. And so with that being said, let's jump straight into the Word this morning. And I'm going to do something different this time. I'm not going to give a title until the end. So if you follow along with me, then if you've been really paying attention to how we've been building this series, then you will, based on the last point from last week, you really kind of get a hint, like Mr. Willie usually gets the hints when we give out the outlines here. He's able to get to the scripture before anybody else. So if you've been really following along in the series, then you'll see how we've built this series, because everything is connected. Everything is connected. Connection. We want you to be connected to our community. We want you to be committed to the community. We want you to have clarity in your gifting. And then this week, we're going to talk about something that's going to be really, really beneficial. So God created the church for connection, community, commitment, and clarity to follow through on what He wanted to happen since day one. I'm going to say that again. God created the church for connection, community, commitment, and clarity to follow through on what He truly wanted to happen since day one. So we learned in weeks 1 through 4 how important and relevant the church is today. Now, I know you're like, well, you're in an empty church right now. Yes, I am. I'm in an empty church building. See, we come to the building for a community. We come to the building to experience God's manifest presence. We come to the building, but you are the church. Because remember, in week 1, we talked about the ecclesia church, which is the body of Christ. And we talked about naos, right, which is the temple of God, who in the temple of God is within you. So the temple of God is within you. And we're going to hit a scripture today that speaks to that. And so many people believe that the church is not relevant. And I believe in this time that it is important for the church to get our priorities straight, because once we do that, then we will grow in the areas of connection and community and commitment and clarity. We will grow in those areas. And so I'm not going to be before you long today, because I want to get straight to my points. I want to get straight to my points. Don't want to be before you long. because I want to get straight to the points. And so point one, God called us to imitate. God called us to imitate. If you would, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. God called us to imitate. What did God call us to imitate? We're about to find out. And this is what it says. It says, be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters and continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. For he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God, like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. Isn't that beautiful how the writer really kind of gives us some guidelines or some imagery to love? It's beautiful. And so listen, the Greek word for imitate here is mimetes. So if we spell that, it's mimets. And so mime, we know mime, me, Ezra, and Wesley used to mime here, so we used to put on the white face paint. So if you ever seen a mime usually kind of imitates and just, you know, does these movements. I lost my moves, so don't judge me based on my moves. So the Greek word for imitate is mimetes, which frequently depicts an actor playing a role. And so when the scripture says, be imitators of God in everything you do, is saying that God wants us to he wants us to mimic him and be filled with his thoughts, his love, his deeds, and his character. And so God wants us to imitate those things. He wants us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. He wants us to love God with all our, he wants us to love him with all our mind, all our strength, all our heart, all our soul, with everything we have. He wants us to love him. And so the importance of church is to help people reconnect with their original design. The importance of church is to help people reconnect with their original design. And our original design in the beginning was to have dominion. That was our original design in the beginning, was to have dominion. So we lost that through Adam, but with Jesus, we regained that dominion. And so that's why it's important for us to have a clarity in our relationship with God, because before God can give us rulership, we must have relationship. I'm going to say that again. Before God can give us rulership, we must have relationship. Relationship with who, Pastor Jay? Or relationship with Christ. And so it's important for us to understand the primary thing that God wanted us to do. He wanted us to have dominion. So God wanted to extend heaven here on earth. He wanted earth to be an extension of heaven. And he wanted earth to be an extension of heaven. Guess through who? Through you. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Let's go to the beginning, the origin. Let's go to that and just kind of exegete what the scripture says. It says this in verse 26. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground. And so in order for you to dominate, you must imitate the one who created the world. I'm going to say that again. That was real good. In order for you to dominate, it's important for you to imitate the one who created you in his image and likeness. Because a lot of times we try to dominate without trying to imitate, and then we end up failing because we're trying to dominate without first imitating the one who created the world. And so God's original plan for you is to have dominion, but if you do not know how to imitate the one who created you to have that dominion, guess what? You are lost. And there are a lot of people in church today that are lost. And there are a lot of people in the world today that are lost because they don't understand the original intention that God created with them in mind. See, God created you to have dominion, which is to rule, to reign, to dominate. That was the original intention for you here on earth. And so we cannot have God's results without God. So that's why it's important for us to imitate God, because when we imitate God, then we can have God results. But a lot of us are looking for God results without God. And guess what? It doesn't work that way. It will never work that way. It's like mixing oil and water. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to sit on top of each other. So when you try to have God's results without God, you are really setting yourself up for failure. And so in order for us to dominate, we must imitate the one who created the world. I should make that a song. In order for you to, yeah, I'll get with the musical team. I'll get with the worship director, and we'll talk about that. And so this is why when Jesus, so it's important for us to understand what God's original intent was. And his original intent was this, for us to have dominion. And so this is why when Jesus came, the first message he ever spoke was repent. What is repent, Pastor Jay? Repent is change your mind. It said, so Jesus spoke this, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so when he spoke that, he was saying, change your mind, because you need to change your mind to go back to the original intent of God. See, God's kingdom was before church, but God uses the church to advance his kingdom. God uses the church as a vehicle to colonize earth with heaven. So Jesus wants us to change our mind, because when we change our minds, then we can see life from a different perspective. That's why the scripture says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's important for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So when we renew our mind, then we can see the kingdom mentality. We can see the king. We can see the original intent of having dominion. And so how do we advance the kingdom, Pastor Jay? How do we advance the kingdom? I know you've been saying that for like the last 2 months. How do we advance the kingdom? Hang tight with me. We're going to get there. And so listen, God has also not only called us to imitate, but God has called us to illuminate. God has not also called us to just imitate. He called us to illuminate. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. I'm so ready to get to this title at the end. I'm having to like calm myself down. Like, you can't see it, but on the inside, I'm having to like calm myself down because I'm so excited about this, about today's message. I was excited about last week's message too. So illuminate. So this is what it says in John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, then Jesus said, I am light to the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. So when you embrace Christ, you will experience life-giving light. In this time that we're in, don't you need to experience life-giving light? Because right now it seems like we are in such a dark time. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with the pandemic. We don't know what's going to happen with the election. We don't know what's going to happen with the racial tension going on. We don't know. And so it's important for us to embrace Christ, because when we embrace Christ, then we also embrace life-giving light. And once we embrace that life-giving light, guess what will happen? We'll never again walk in darkness. See, a lot of people are walking in darkness, and they're stumbling around. Like, if we were to shut off all the lights in here, and I was to, like, walk around without light, I would stumble around. Especially if all the chairs were moved around and everything looked different, then I would stumble around because there is no light. But when I allow Christ in my life, when I have clarity on my relationship with Christ, clarity like last week, we talked about last week, when I have clarity on my relationship with Christ, then I experience that life-giving light. And the scripture says that they will never walk in darkness. And so when you experience that life-giving light, then you'll never again walk in darkness. So the importance of church is to teach us how to embrace Christ so that we can experience him because he is the light of the world. So that is, church is relative right now in this pandemic. Church is still relative. I know you're going to hear me say that. You probably heard me say that over the past 4 weeks, but church is still relevant today, and church will be relevant tomorrow because church is just a vehicle to advance the kingdom of God. And Jesus, listen to this, Jesus is so much light to the world that darkness cannot comprehend it. See, a lot of people's minds have been clouded by darkness, and they're trying to figure out, well, there was no J in Hebrew, and his name was Yeshua, and yes, I understand that, and Jesus was this and this and that, that and like, darkness is trying to comprehend light, and they cannot comprehend it. When light comes into a room, it illuminates the whole room. When you come in rooms, you should illuminate the whole room. Why should you illuminate the whole room? Because you are imitating God. You are imitating God in his love, his deeds, his character, his actions. You are imitating him in that way. And so when you walk into a room, you should illuminate. That room should brighten. So this is what it says in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And you can follow along on the screen. And this is what it says. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life, hear me, the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so darkness cannot comprehend the light that Christ is. And so we are to be light because when we are light, we bring glory to God. See, when we are light and we help others see the light, because it's not just about you being a light, it's about Christ being a light through you. And so when you allow Christ to be the light through you and you experience that life-giving light, then you can help illuminate others' lives. See, you are called to illuminate others' lives. That's why it's important for you to have clarity in your relationship with Christ, for you to have clarity in your gifting, because through your gifting, through your life, you are to illuminate Christ. And when you illuminate Christ to others, then you help glorify the Father which is in heaven. See, we should be glory carriers. We should be glory carriers. What's a glory carrier? Glory carrier is this, that my life is so bright that it brings glory to God's name. And that's what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. It says, your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's a place where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them, and then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. So look, don't dim your light. Don't dim your light for anybody, because your light is to help you be a glory carrier. Your light is to shine before others so that men can see your good works and glorify, not you, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so you are to be an illumination to people's life. See, you are to walk into a house and to illuminate it. You are to walk into a job, your job, and illuminate it. You are to walk into Walmart or Target or Rouse's or Publix or the Dollar Store, the Dollar Tree, or the mall, wherever you go. You are supposed to illuminate. You're supposed to be a light, because when you are light, and men see your good works, then you will help people glorify your Father who is in heaven. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bring glory to God's name. And so remember, I always teach you this, that God is life, God is love, God is light. I'm going to say it again. God is life, God is love, God is light. And so do you know what light does? Do you know what the light does? Hang with me. This is what the light does. This is the third one. So God first called us to imitate. He called us to illuminate. I almost forgot my notes. They right here. He called us to illuminate, but he also called us to influence. You know what light does? Light influences the perspective of others. And the scripture says that. It says, so don't hide your light. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them, and then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. So you are to be an influence. See, your life is supposed to be an influence. Life influences the perspectives of others. If this room was dark and I was trying to read a book, because, you know, I try to read one book a week, and I was trying to read a book, but it was no light in here, then I would not be able to have a good perspective on what the book is saying. But once light enters the room, then I'm able to have a good perspective on what the book is saying. The same goes for you. You are to influence others with your light, with your illumination, because when you influence others, see, God created us with influence, to be an influence. See, the influence is not just for us to hog up all the influence. I got all the influence. It's all mine. I got all the influence. You got to get your influence, but I got all my influence. No, it's not about that. God gives us influence to help influence others. So you are called to be the light which will influence others' lives. You are called to be the light which will influence others' lives. See, the reason the enemy wants you to dim your light is because he knows you have the influence power within you that will help change lives. That's why the enemy wants you to dim your light. That's why the enemy wants to clog your mind with anxiety. That's why the enemy wants to clog your mind with depression. Because if he can get you distracted, if he can get you in a mind of disorder and distractions and drifting, go back and watch the Focus series. If he can get you in those things, then he can suppress your light. But you're not supposed to suppress your light. You're supposed to let your light shine before others so that men can see your good work and see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so God wants us to bring the influence of heaven on earth through you. I'm going to say it again. God wants us to bring the influence of heaven on earth through us. And so God wants us to influence earth with heaven principles. God wants us to influence earth with kingdom principles. And when we influence the earth with kingdom principles, then we have power. And so you are not just here to live a few years and die. You are here to influence earth with heaven. You're not just here to just work a job for 40 years, get my watch, get my retirement, go to my villa and chill for the rest of my life. I am here to influence earth with heaven. See, you are here for a purpose, on purpose. You are here for a reason. You are significant. And if no one has told you recently, you are significant. You are important. You are important to the body of Christ. And what you bring to the body of Christ is important. And so what you bring to the body of Christ is influence. So your influence is supposed to influence others to have a relationship with Christ. And so listen to this. We're not just supposed to go to our jobs and just, you know, get people to just come to our church and just watch our live stream. We are to go to our lives to get people to understand kingdom principles, kingdom lifestyle. My whole thing now is how can we advance the kingdom like never before? And now is a wonderful time to do just that. And so I'm just in a mindset of how can we advance the kingdom of God in this time of pandemic, in this time of social unrest, in this time of political unrest? How can we advance the kingdom? Because that's what it's really about at the end of the day. It's about us advancing the kingdom. And so you are here, hear me, you are here to influence those around you with the kingdom of heaven. You are here to influence those around you with the kingdom of heaven. See, your life should be on display as an influence of the kingdom of heaven. See, you know why a lot of people don't come to your church? It's because you go there. Are you really influencing them with the kingdom of heaven? Are you being judgmental? Are you talking about them behind their back? Are you being mean to them? It's really important for us to truly love God, because when we truly love God, He teaches us how to love ourselves. And when He teaches us how to love ourselves, then He also simultaneously teaches us how to love others. But that's why it's important for you to have a relationship with Christ, because your relationship with Christ determines your influence. And so God wants the kingdom of heaven to be manifested on earth through you and me. So He wants the kingdom of heaven to be manifested on earth through you and me. See, it's not just about, because He has complete reign in heaven. He has complete rule and rulership in heaven. But he wants us to have complete reign and rulership here on earth through kingdom principles. And so that was the original plan from the start. And so hear me, and I'm getting ready to close. I told you I wasn't going to be before you long today. I know it's Fifth Sunday. I know it's usually kind of short. And so I didn't want to be before you long. I wanted to give you like a different look and just bring you straight word. And so hear me when I say this. I believe we have done a great job of getting people saved and filling heaven, but we have done a poor job in what God called the church to do. And Pastor Jay, how do we advance the kingdom? What did God call us to do? This is exactly what God called us to do. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And this is what it says. It says, "Meanwhile, the 11 disciples heard the wonderful news from the women and left for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. The moment they saw him, they worshiped him, but some still had lingering doubts. Then Jesus came close to them and said, 'All the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age.'" So what has God called us to do? He called us to go out to all the world, to all nations, and make disciples. So like I said, we've done a great job of getting people saved and filling heaven, but we've done a poor job in making disciples. See, you have a sphere of influence which you are to influence with the kingdom. Yes, you have a sphere of influence that you are to influence with the kingdom. Let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 35 through 41. And I want you to look at this influence this brother had. And this is what it says. It says, "Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, when translated, 'Teacher,' 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who had heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. So what did this brother do? He went and told his brother. He went to his sphere of influence. And so it's important for us to go to our sphere of influence, just as Andrew went to his sphere of influence, and tell them about Christ. And so how do we advance the kingdom of God? By making disciples. This is how we advance the kingdom of God. And this is what the title of my message is. The functions of a healthy church is, this is the church's mission, is the Great Commission, to make disciples. And so we are to imitate God, which means we are to be filled with his thoughts, his love, his deeds, and his character. We are to illuminate Christ so that our good works can bring glory to God, and we are to influence the world and sphere with which God has blessed us. Look, NBCC, we are going to love God, invest in others, value community, and echo that. We are going to live. We're going to love God. We're going to invest in others. We're going to value community, and we're going to echo this. So NBCC, what are we going to do? We are going to make disciples, because that is what the Great Commission is all about. It's about making disciples. And how are we going to make disciples here? We're going to make disciples by loving God, investing in others, valuing community, and echoing that, doing it all over again. Wow, what a way to end the series on the functions of a healthy church. So it's important for us to have connection. It's important for us to have community. It's important for us to have commitment. It's important for us to have clarity. But most of all, it's important for us to make disciples. And I hope you hear my heart. We are going to make disciples here, because that's the Great Commission. We're going to baptize them in the Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, wow, what a way to end the series. We're getting ready to unfold some things here at NBCC. And look, I want you to be a part. I want you to be a part of what we're doing here. If you've been blessed by these messages, by these words, you know, not only by me, you know, but by our, you know, worship team, you know, by other ministers, and you looking for a place to connect to, a community to connect to, because we're not just here about just church as usual. I believe we have to get back to community. We have to get back to connection. We have to get back to commitment, to clarity, and we have to get back to the Great Commission, because that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And so if you are watching this and you desire to be a part of our ministry, you can text the word EFAM to this number coming up on the screen right now. You can text the word EFAM, E-F-A-M. Or if you desire to be saved, if you desire to have a relationship with Christ so you can begin the discipleship process now, you can text the word SAVED to this number. And so, look, I want you all to really go back and listen to these messages. Go back and watch them. Go back and share them. Go back and listen to them on the podcast. Because sometimes during services, you're not able to catch everything. And so you need to kind of go back and review. Because I believe that God is calling the church to be healthy again. He's calling the church to be healthy again, because the church is essential. The church is relevant. Now, the message has not changed, but the method has changed. And so church is still relevant today. Christ is still relevant. God is still relevant. Your relationship with God is still relevant. And if anything, the scripture says, don't forsake the assembly of others. Encourage those to come even the more, even as we see the day drawing near. And so nobody knows the time or the day when the world will end. So now is not the time to run from church. Now is the time to run to church, because there you will find community. There you find commitment, clarity, connection, and ultimately the Great Commission. So look, coming up on the screen right now, you will see what we've been doing over the last 4 weeks after message. It's been really great to be able to see everybody, and I want to see you. And so coming up on the screen, you